Stories you heard about in the forest? They're true. They're all true.
Officials found a camera with this film in it. No trace of the people.
We believe that there is a creature living in these mountains. Possibly a close relative to man.
We're already in Bigfoot territory, where all those people were killed. Not far from here, a motorcyclist was found. There was no trace of the thing that killed him.
Bigfoot's not playing games anymore. Maybe next time he won't be happy just to scare us.
Hello, 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 geeks, freaks, and tomb dwellers, and welcome back to Tombs of Horror. As always, I'm your host with the most bad movies to talk about, Dustin. Before we get into today's episode, I'm just going to bring up a couple things. Number one, the long talked about but delayed side project between myself and Jerry, or as you guys know him, Animus Morg. Starship Poopers is finally going to see the light of day after a long, long, long delay, mostly due to Jerry, but it's not really his fault. But I have just received his vocals on Friday, I think it was, and I laid down my own vocals, and I'm going to be putting them into the track, the musical track I composed. And then I will be releasing that sometime in July as a single. The full album is yet to come, but I will be releasing the single sometime in July. I was going to do it at the end of this month, but I had my band, Raped by Wolves, has another release coming out at the end of this month. So I decided to delay the Starship Poopers single just a little bit longer. But it is coming for everybody that has asked me about it. there's a new horror movie coming out. Well, of course it's fucking horror, also I wouldn't be talking about it on this fucking podcast. But it is basically a retelling of the Winnie the Pooh story, if Winnie the Pooh was a horror character. It's called Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey, I believe. But this is one I'm probably definitely going to see just to see how bad it's going to be. But I mean, if it's done right, it could probably be turned into a good horror movie. But my fear is that it's just going to turn out to be one of those fucking lame, completely shit retelling reboots, or whatever the fuck you want to call this. But it's one I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on, and when it comes out, I am going to see it, just to see how fucked up and twisted they can make a beloved childhood character.
Stories you heard about in the forest? They're true. They're all true.
Officials found a camera with this film in it. No trace of the people.
Believe that there is a creature living in these mountains. Possibly a close relative to man.
We're already in Bigfoot territory, where all those people were killed. Motorcyclist was found. There was no trace of the thing that killed him.
Bigfoot's not playing games anymore. Maybe next time he won't be happy just to scare us.
Bill Nugent, an anthropology professor, is approached by Kyla Thomas. a young woman whose father was murdered in the woods in Northern California. She suspects that his death was caused by a Bigfoot who, according to legend, resides in the woods in the region. Despite a number of disappearances and brutal murders, including the deaths of a young couple, the manual emasculation of a biker, and the butchering of two Girl Scouts, police have deemed the theory of a Bigfoot being responsible as a hoax. Kyler requests to accompany Bill along with four of his students, Roy, Pete, Gary, and Linda, on an expedition aiming to prove Bigfoot's existence. They embark by boat along the river and first camp on the property of an elderly man named Lou Carlson, who has claimed to witness a Bigfoot. Lou allows them to stay, but is evasive when they attempt to speak to him. And when one of the students, Ray, bribes Lou with alcohol, Lou suggests they seek out Wanda, a recluse who resides deep in the woods and supposedly holds more information about the Bigfoot. Meanwhile, a hunter camping nearby is attacked and impaled by the Bigfoot on a jagged branch. Next day, Nugent and his five companions visit the nearby town, where they glean from locals more information about Wanda. She is the daughter of a deranged preacher, Emmett McGinty, whose followers were rumored to engage in inbreeding, cannibalism, and human sacrifice. Emmett has since committed suicide, and after learning of this, the group returns to the woods. That night, after the five have fallen asleep, they are awoken by the sound of chanting. Bill and Roy follow the sound and stumble upon a satanic sexual ritual involving Wanda around an effigy of Bigfoot. Among the practitioners is the local sheriff. Bill interrupts the ritual by firing a gun, which causes the cultists to scatter. In the morning, Bill and the others find their boat missing and large footprints left on the shore. After making plaster casts of the footprints, they push forward, and at night, the Bigfoot attacks Linda and Gary while they fuck, but they survive. The group eventually reaches Wanda's cabin, bribing her with candy, but she has a nervous breakdown when the Bigfoot is mentioned. That night, Pete is attacked by the Bigfoot, who causes him to shoot himself with his rifle. The others attempt to locate Pete, but find that he has disappeared. Bill then decides to hypnotize Wanda the next day, causing her to recall her abusive childhood. As a teenager, Wanda was brutally raped by the Bigfoot, an event her religious fanatic Father Emmett witnessed in horror, convinced the beast was a demon. Emmett unsuccessfully then attempted to induce an abortion by forcing Wanda to drink poison. Wanda eventually gave birth to the mutant half-human child, but Emmett killed it moments after its birth, and in retaliation, Wanda burned her father alive in his barn, staging it to look like a suicide. Hoping to find evidence of Wanda's Bigfoot child, Bill explores a cemetery nearby, where he digs up the skeletal remains of the infant Bigfoot, which appear to be more animal than human. The Bigfoot then appears in the cemetery and absconds with its dead spawn as Bill and the others fearfully barricade themselves in Wanda's cabin. Hours later, the Bigfoot hangs Peter's mutilated body on the porch before breaking into the home, ignoring a strangely calm Wanda. The Bigfoot strangles Carla to death as the others barricade themselves in the kitchen. The Bigfoot then breaks into the kitchen where he disembowels Gary. Roy attempts to stop him, but the Bigfoot smashes his head through the window and cuts his throat on the glass before impaling Linda with a pitchfork. Finally, the Bigfoot burns Bill's face on a hot stove and leaves him for dead. Sometime later, Bill lies helplessly in a hospital bed, having been found unconscious in the woods, his face horribly burned. When detectives inquire about Carla and the four students, all of whom are missing, Bill recounts his version of events to them. Both the police and attending doctors receive his story with disbelief, and the hospital psychologist deems him criminally insane as the movie ends. This is one of the best out of the batch I'm going to talk about. And it's interesting, and it's definitely different than most Bigfoot movies, which I'll get into in a minute. But that's not to say this is a good movie, because it's definitely not. But it's one of those so bad, it's good movies, and it's definitely fucking entertaining. There's plenty of gore. There's castrations, decapitations. Two Girl Scouts get beaten to death with their own fucking arms in a fucking hilarious moment. And like I said, blood and gore is splashed all over the screen. The Bigfoot creature itself really isn't that great looking. You can tell it's just a dude in like the lower part of an ape suit and a cheap dime store fright mask. But like I said, it's definitely not one of the worst movies I'm going to talk about. It's one of the best. And the acting really isn't anything to write home about, but it's just all right. What makes this movie different from most Bigfoot movies is that since this was made near the beginning of the slasher craze in the 80s, they did something different with this one and kind of tried to make Bigfoot into a slasher. It works, it's just a little bit different. IMDb gave this a 4.6 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes at 25%, Letterboxd at 2.9 out of 5, and I give it a 3.4 out of 5. Next up, we have 2018's Cherokee Creek.
Yeah. Ever since you brought it up, you kinda gotta pee. I'm gonna take this jug with you, and you piss in that. If you fill it up, you drink it.
Of course I ain't doing that.
Yeah, they do it on the survival shows all the time.
This ain't no survival show.
Pour that out on the ground, then this thing's gonna smell that. It's gonna be on top of us in no time. Now look, they say it's good for you. They even cook with it. Now come on, let's get this son of a bitch. Oh. Take your spot.
I'm not going to talk too much about this one, just because its plot is very, very basic. Basically, a group of friends kidnap another friend who is about to be married and take him for one last night of debauchery out in the woods. They order a stripper and, you know, basically sit around a campfire for the first 40 minutes of the movie. No talking and all that kind of shit. And as they're talking, you know, they hear something moving around in the woods behind them and blah, blah, blah. And it turns out that it's a Bigfoot. And then 40 minutes later, the Bigfoot makes another appearance. And basically after that, it's about the group of friends trying to survive the night and escape the fucking Bigfoot. This one, it's not anything special. It's very low budget, and the first 40 minutes or so are just basically the group of friends sitting around a campfire talking. It's a Bigfoot movie, but it's also kind of about this group of friends trying to work out their demons before they're fucking full on assaulted by the fucking Bigfoot. If you look at the cover for this movie, you'll know not to expect too much. And if you don't expect that much, you won't be disappointed. There is, however, plenty of blood and tits to satisfy you if you're into that kind of thing. It's just not that great of a movie. It's, like I said, it's okay for what it is, but it's not the best, and don't go into this expecting more than what you're going to get. IMDb gave us a 3.6 out of 10. It didn't even chart on Rotten Tomatoes. Letterboxd gave it a 3.8. And I give it a 2.8. And that leads us into 2014's Exists.
Brian, yeah. When was the last time you felt the tender touch of a woman? Ryan just needs to be touched by another human being.
Oh, leave Ryan sad sex life alone.
Leave Ryan alone!
Are you ladies gonna get down next?
Whoa!
I don't think
we got we are officially in un-GPS territory, look.
Rolling deep in the woods.
Bro, your uncle has a cabin out here.
Yeah, dude.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Trust me, guys. It looks a lot better in the daylight.
You gotta be kidding me, man.
Yeah.
I went out and I bought one of these bad boys. We're gonna have the best YouTube video ever.
Looks like a little love walk going on. I shouldn't be shooting this.
What the hell was that?
There's something over there.
We ran across that ridge right there.
We're here.
No.
What are you doing?
I got some GoPros set up. If anything moves up in here, Ryan Tober's gonna catch it.
What is that?
Get the lights!
There's no credible documented cases of a Sasquatch attack.
Shut up about a Sasquatch.
Two brothers, Brian and Matt, invite a group of friends, Matt's girlfriend Dora, and their friends Todd and Elizabeth, on a camping trip to their Uncle Bob's cabin in East Texas. Driving on a forest road, Matt hits something with the car and stops to investigate. The group hears loud animal cries in the distance, but dismiss them. Finding the road blocked by a fallen tree, the group continues on foot and reaches the cabin, only to discover that it is dilapidated. The group decides to spend the night in the car, where Brian and Matt again hear the loud cries. The following morning, Brian finds blood on the fender and a tuft of hair in the grill. Brian catches sight of what he claims is Bigfoot running along a nearby ridge, but the group dismisses him. Determined to get the creature on film, he sets up several GoPro cameras at various points around the cabin. That night, the creature continues to scream and harass the group. Using his camera's night vision, Brian catches a glimpse of the roaring creature through a window. At daybreak, the group attempts to leave, but finds their car completely destroyed. Matt and Brian then reveal that they didn't tell their Uncle Bob that they were using his cabin, and that they stole the keys from him, so rescue was unlikely. Matt then bikes to an area of the woods that has cell phone reception, so that he can call for help, but just as he gets through to Bob, he's attacked by the Bigfoot. At the cabin, the others move furniture to block the windows and doors. They uncover a trap door to the cabin cellar, where Todd finds a shotgun. At nightfall, the Bigfoot attacks the cabin and kills Elizabeth before Todd shoots it, causing it to flee. The surviving three members of the group decide to hike toward the road. That night, they rescue the injured Matt from the creature's den, and Todd once again shoots it. As dawn breaks, the group takes shelter in an abandoned RV. Brian receives a call from Bob, who is now at the cabin. Todd then sets off fireworks, hoping to alert Bob to their location, only to have the Bigfoot attack and kill him. The creature then pushes the RV over the edge of a hill, with Brian, Matt, and Dora still inside. When Brian regains consciousness, he finds Matt and Dora dead, and Brian runs away, but the creature pursues and drags him off. Brian then awakens next to his dead friends. Nearby, he observes the corpse of a juvenile Bigfoot and realizes that they killed it accidentally with the car. The Bigfoot begins to attack him when Uncle Bob arrives and shoots at it with a rifle. And as they flee for Bob's truck, the Bigfoot ambushes and kills Bob. Brian picks up his uncle's gun and runs as the creature gives chase. He turns and points it at the Bigfoot, begging for it to stop and begins to apologize. The wounded creature then just stares at Brian, who lowers the rifle. Still recording, Brian turns his back to the creature and prepares to be killed, but the Bigfoot disappears into the forest, leaving Brian alive, and the movie ends. Brought to us from the producers of the Blair Witch Project, you can pretty much know what to expect from this. It's pretty much a found footage film. And I've made my feelings about found footage horror movies pretty clear in past episodes. This is just alright for what it is. It's pretty cliche. But knowing that this is a Bigfoot movie, I really didn't expect anything different. Especially because it's just kind of like a film version of the Messing with Sasquatch commercials, if you remember those, from a couple years ago. And I say it's cliche because it's, you know, pretty much the usual trope. Five teens, the white leader, the black tough guy, the blonde, the smart girl, and the unlikable cameraman are all at a cabin for some reason, and nobody knows that they're actually there, and they're attacked by some kind of creature. So it's not really anything new there. The tone itself is pretty creepy. As much as I don't like found footage film, it's still effective, but it's full of jump scares. I lost myself in my notes there for a second, sorry. It's full of jump scares, and I've also known my feelings about jump scares pretty well known. But the ones in this are even more, what's the word? Are even less scary than usual jump scares. They make these quite obvious. But I will admit that Bigfoot in this is pretty cool. It's quite an athletic Bigfoot, an agile Bigfoot, more so than in most Bigfoot horror movies. So that alone is well worth the price of admission. And if you're a gore freak, there really isn't any in this. There is some. But it's not anything spectacular, and the acting, once again, really isn't anything to write home about. But I will say that this is something that is worth a watch. I wouldn't pay for it personally, but if you find it on Netflix or even on Prime Video for free, give it a try. You might find yourself enjoying it. It was okay for what it is, but you might actually like it. If you're not super into, you know, like regular horror movies. IMDb gave this a 5.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes a 33%. Letterboxd a 3 out of 5. And I'll give it a 3.2 for effort out of 5. Next up, we have 1984's Boggy Creek 2. And the legend continues.
You can take my word. No monsters around here.
Hey, boy, where do you think you're going to find that monster?
Gonna find him in the swamp if it exists.
He's been seen over 100 times since the early 50s.
Seen by who? Drunks or city folk like you all want your names in the newspaper?
Building these fires around this camp, isn't it? Because it's afraid of the fire. Isn't it?
You finally smart enough, Kurt.
Talk to me.
producer Charles B. Pierce comes a motion picture that will stir your imagination. From his first classic film, The Legend of Boggy Creek, he proudly presents Boggy Creek 2, and the legend continues. Rated PG, coming to a theater near you.
The official sequel to 1972's The Legend of Boggy Creek that completely ignores 1977's unofficial sequel, Return to Boggy Creek. Dr. Brian Lockhart is a professor of anthropology at the University of Arkansas. He receives a call from a sheriff who reports sightings of a Bigfoot-like creature in a remote town in southwestern Arkansas. Lockhart recruits the help of his two students, Tim and Tanya, as well as Tanya's friend Leslie. The group heads for an area near Boggy Creek, close to the town of Folk, set up camp in the woods with a pop-up camper trailer and secure the perimeter with a sonar system. Lockhart sets about investigating the recent sightings while relating to the group tales he had heard centered around a creature presented in flashbacks, which includes a local rancher who, while having lunch, and mysteriously loses his herd of cattle and sees the creature leave the scene. A local man who encountered the creature while repairing a flat tire on his vehicle. The man was knocked unconscious in the encounter and never came out of it in order to relate his story to others. And how the fuck Lockhart knows his story then is unexplained. A local attorney who was in an outhouse that was attacked by the creature, who shit his pants in the encounter. And finally, the local sheriff who encountered the creature behind his home following a fishing trip. The creature and its young ran off with the sheriff's catch. And this is the story that Lockhart had come to investigate. While talking with the locals, Lockhart is met with resistance and disbelief by most of those willing to talk with him. He's directed to speak with Old Man Crenshaw, who lives in a shack along the river bank. Lockhart leases a boat and takes off to meet with Crenshaw. And while somewhat welcoming to Lockhart and his entourage, Crenshaw seems unwilling to talk too much about the creature or why he is maintaining a series of bonfires on his land. A severe storm then closes in and makes heading back down the river dangerous, forcing Lockhart and the students to have to stay the night in Crenshaw's cabin. Believing Lockhart to be a medical doctor, Crenshaw enlists his help in tending to an animal he has caught. To Lockhart's amazement, it is the adolescent Bigfoot. Lockhart determines that the adult creature has been more hostile in the area recently due to the capture of its child, who is now near death. Lockhart commandeers Crenshaw's gun and ammo and returns the adolescent creature to the adult when it attacks the cabin in the night, knocking down the front door. With its young in its arms, the creature leaves the cabin without further incident, and the following morning, Crenshaw agrees with Lockhart's assessment that the creature should be left alone. Lockhart then decides not to tell the others about his experiences while in the Boggy Creek area, and returns down the river with his students as the movie ends. While the original The Legend of Boggy Creek is a cult classic, as I mentioned before, this, like I said, quote-unquote official sequel just fucking sucks. It's the kind of movie that seems to hate you and wants to cause you act of harm, to kick sand in your eyes, and make you cry. It's just that bad of a movie. While the first film was kind of shot in a pseudo faux documentary style, this one is just a straight up movie. I mean, it would have been much better, for as much as I hate found footage movies, for this to have followed the same kind of formula. It would have made it a hell of a lot more interesting. This one is pretty fucking boring. Not a whole hell of a lot goes on in it. It's just a group of people looking for other people to fucking talk about the Bigfoot-like creature. And when you finally see the Bigfoot creature, it's pretty fucking lame looking. It looks kind of like a cross between a wolf and an ape for some fucking reason that's never really explained. And this whole movie is just shit, pretty much. It pisses all over the name of the original and just basically gives a middle finger to the audience, thinking that they're fucking stupid. This is definitely not well worth your time to watch. IMDb gives us a 2.4 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes a 20%, Letterboxd a 2 out of 5, and I give it a half a star out of 5. And that leads us to 2013's Willow Creek.
Check one. My boyfriend's a big idiot. Check one. I said I would come on this trip to help you with your film, and it's your birthday, and we're going to have a great time, but I'm not about to say that I believe in Bigfoot.
Well, then why are you here?
I like being with you.
I just don't want you to think I'm crazy. Pets and people go missing all the time.
I'll go in there myself. You can just stay here in town if you want.
You believe any nut job out there that says Sasquatch is real?
Your friends will all think you're crazy, and you'll spend all of your days searching for something that you never find.
I never felt this way about anyone.
It's about 29 miles north of here, you come to the bottom of Bluff Creek.
We're here.
We're here. When you get in there, it's a steep canyon, there's a running creek, there's forests, it's thick, and you're gonna feel how isolated they were.
Callie, come here.
The real truth of it is you're out in the middle of nowhere.
How do we know we're going in the right direction?
You don't want to be in the movie, and now you're Stanley fucking Kubrick.
Turn off the camera.
There's a lot of people that live back in these woods, and they just don't like other people and their business.
Turn that fucking thing off.
Okay, let's go, Jim.
See Bye. The buckshot on the side?
What is my sock doing in the tree?
People didn't want us to come out here, so people are probably fucking with us. Just go back to bed. Did you hear that?
Taking place in Humboldt County, California, Jim, a stout believer in Bigfoot, and his girlfriend Kelly, a big disbeliever, are traveling to Six Rivers National Forest in Northern California, where Jim plans to shoot his own Bigfoot footage at the site of the Patterson-Gimlin film. The two stop off first in Willow Creek, the Bigfoot capital of the world, where Jim interviews various locals about Bigfoot. At a restaurant, they notice a missing woman on a poster on the wall. While heading into the forest in search of the Patterson-Gimlin filming location, they encounter a man who angrily tells them to leave, but Jim and Kelly ignore him. They set up a camp in the middle of the woods, but after they return to it from a swim, they find that it has been trashed. That night, they are awakened by mysterious sounds echoing through the woods and whooping vocalizations. Cowering inside their tent, they can hear large creatures moving about outside, pushing into and investigating the tent. And they can also hear the distant sound of a woman crying. The noises grow closer and something hits their tent. Scared, the couple decides to leave at dawn, and in the morning, Jim discovers a clump of gray fur. They wander in circles through the thick woods while hearing the same noises they heard the night before. Then again during the night, Jim and Kelly encounter a naked woman who was on the missing person poster from Willow Creek. She has gone insane and was taken as a quote-unquote forest bride and is imitating the noises of the beings in the forest. An unseen creature then attacks them, killing Jim and moving on to Kelly, whose cries for help are heard in the distance as she is taken but to be another forest bride. The movie then ends with three whooping vocalizations also heard in the distance. Yet another fucking found footage film. What's really interesting about this is that it was directed by Bobcat Goldthwait, who was a big comedian back in the 80s and early 90s, who really doesn't do his own things, but he has become a director in like the last decade or so, I believe. Goldthwait also did all the Bigfoot noises in this. While this is for a found footage film, a good movie, it's not great. It has its share of flaws. It does, however, handle its scares with tact and maturity, and it even has a very tense scene when the Bigfoot creatures are poking around Jim's tent. It's certainly not anything new, but it takes a good and well-established staples of horror and arranges them in a way that, while still not completely original, is something just a tad bit different from what we're used to seeing. And that's what makes this movie interesting. Like I said, it's not a great movie, but when it comes to Bigfoot movies, it's not bad at all. IMDb gives us a 5.1 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes a surprising 80%, Letterboxd a 2.8 out of 5, and I give it a 3.4 out of 5. Next up, we have 2006's Abominable. Not to be confused with the CGI animated kiddie film of the same name, this movie opens with farmers Billy and Ethel Haas being terrorized in the middle of the night by a giant figure that kills their dog and leaves large footprints in their yard. The next day, paraplegic wheelchair user Preston Rogers goes to a secluded cottage in the woods with his home care nurse, Otis. A group of women named Karen, Michelle, CJ, Tracy, and Amanda then arrive to stay in the cabin next door for a bachelorette party. Otis departs for town and night falls. Preston observes as Karen steps outside, but does not notice as something abducts her. He sees her cell phone lying on the ground and correctly guesses something has happened to her. He then notices a telephone pole has been knocked over, preventing him from being able to call anyone else. Using his binoculars, he looks into the woods and sees a pair of large eyes staring directly back at him, and terrified, Preston goes back inside and turns off all the lights. Otis then returns, and Preston tries to tell him what he saw, but of course, Otis doesn't believe him. Elsewhere, Billy and his friends Ziegler, Dane, and Buddy are out hunting for the same monster, which they believe to be a Bigfoot. Dane finds a cave and discovers a mortally wounded Karen. The beast then returns and drags Karen back into the cave while Dane runs back to the group. They attempt to attack the creature, but they are all killed. Preston tries to contact the police and inform them of the creature via email. Though Deputy McBride wants to check on Preston despite disbelieving his claim, his superior, Sheriff Halderman, is flippant and refuses to allow him to do so. Preston then sees that the remaining women are looking for Karen and asks Otis to go over and tell them what he saw, but Otis refuses this as well. Preston then watches as Tracy is killed by the creature. Preston then becomes hysterical and Otis attempts to sedate him, but Preston gains control of the syringe and tranquilizes Otis. Preston then looks out the window, and the creature reappears, roaring at him. Preston faints in terror, and sometime later, he wakes up to a still sedated Otis and the creature gone from the window. He then receives a dismissive email response from Halderman, and then screams out the window to warn the remaining women next door. Shortly after this, the beast invades their cabin, and Michelle and CJ both fall victim to the monster, while Amanda is able to make it back to Preston's house. Preston then comforts Amanda and tells her that he only recently became a wheelchair user, and several months earlier, Preston and his wife were rock climbing when their cable snapped and his wife fell to her death, while Preston survived, obviously. Amanda and Preston formulate a plan to trap the creature and escape, and the power goes out and the Bigfoot breaks into the cabin, forcing them to escape down the balcony with rope. Preston makes it to the ground, but Amanda is taken by the creature. She is then saved by Otis, who strikes the creature in the back with an axe, causing it to drop Amanda. However, the attack doesn't kill the creature, and the enraged Bigfoot kills Otis. Amanda and Preston then make it to the car, but the creature causes them to crash, and Amanda is ejected from the vehicle and knocked out. Preston then drives into the creature, ramming it into a tree, causing the axe from Otis's attack to impale it. Preston then crawls over to Amanda as the creature dies, and the two head off down the road. Deputy McBride finds them and calls in his fellow officers and paramedics. Preston and Amanda are then taken to safety in an ambulance, while the police head back to the cabins. At the cabins, McBride discovers the creature has vanished, of course, while Halderman leads the rest of his men into the woods. They hear noises and see multiple Bigfoots hiding in the trees all around them and growling at them as the movie ends. While this movie hosts a lot of names that are B-movie royalty, such as Lance Henriksen, Dee Wallace, and Jeffrey Combs, this definitely isn't any of theirs best movie. Not to say that this is a terrible movie, but it's also not a great one. While this is a sci-fi original, and I've gotten into my feelings as well about sci-fi originals, it's not the typical sci-fi original, meaning it's not complete and total crap like most of them are, i.e. Sharknado. It does have a pretty cool twist on the Bigfoot mythology, and it kind of makes Bigfoot look more like a werewolf for some reason I can't really understand, but it's akin to Night of the Demon, kind of, sorta, in the fact that it tries to do something different with the regular formula. It has an obvious low budget, and the effects are pretty cheesy. And while the plot is pretty basic, it does set a mood that does suck you into it, unlike most sci-fi movies. And, like, once again, by sci-fi, I don't mean the genre, I mean the channel, S-Y-F-Y, sci-fi. But like I said, this is much better than most sci-fi originals. Again, it's not super great, but it's better than most that the sci-fi channel makes. IMDb gives us a 5.1 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes a 69%, Letterboxd a 2.8 out of 5, and I give it a 3 out of 5. And that leads us into the final film of the episode, and that is 2012's Night Claws.
Well, good morning to you too, Joe.
What's going on?
Sasquatch, Yeti, abominable snowman, Bigfoot, whatever you want to call it. That's what did this.
Oh my God!
He had these big, huge set of claws on him. Looks like they cut you right in half. Come on, you son of a bitch. Come on!
I'm confused. Did a creature do this,
Or is this some raving maniac running around the woods killing people?
Both.
I don't want another footprint mold. I want the beast.
And now that I found you, I'm going to straighten you out.
We are not going to be fine!
But there is no monster.
No, please, no! No!
This is another one that I'm really not going to get into because it fucking sucks. And it's basically a waste of your time. A made-for-TV movie, Night Claws, is about a bloodthirsty Bigfoot which kills without warning and is on a rampage near a small town. A strong, beautiful, and sometimes mysterious woman shows up claiming to represent the federal government and pushes the local sheriff into hunting down the creature. But they soon find that the hunter has now become the hunted. This movie just fucking sucks. The acting sucks. The Bigfoot creature really fucking sucks. It's basically some dude in a furry monster suit whose face mask that they put on it. If you ever saw Rawhead Rex, you'll know what I'm talking about when I say this, but the way the face mask is built, it's supposed to make it so the actor can move the jaws and all that kind of shit, but it really can't. What I mean to say is that the mask really doesn't allow for all that much movement. So when they show close-ups of the Bigfoot trying to act all menacing and growling and opening and closing its jaws, it can only open its jaws not very much, I guess is the best way to put it. So it just makes it look more comical than terrifying. And this just isn't a good movie. While there is some gore in it, that really doesn't make up for this movie's shortcomings or for the fact that it's just a fucking stupid movie. And it's really not worth your time watching, even if you see it for free on basic cable or whatever streaming service that you are watching. Just avoid it altogether. IMDb gave this a 2.6 out of 10. It didn't even chart on Rotten Tomatoes. Letterboxd a 2.5 out of 5. And I give it a 0 out of 5. And that just wraps it up. For this episode. As always, you can reach me at darksyde9034@gmail.com. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tombs of Horror. I'll see you next time.